First Lady Laura Bush will host the first National Book Festival on September 8th. Some 75 fiction and nonfiction writers are invited. Mrs. Bush launched a similar festival when her husband was governor of Texas. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg spoke with Mrs. Bush in her East Wing office at the White House about books, writing, and reading.
There are still mover's tags on her desk and chair. The office is undecorated, the lamps unplugged, decor any day now, they say. But even though these bookshelves are bare, when Laura Bush talks about books, her eyes light up the room. A former fourth grade teacher and librarian, reading has been at the center of her life since she was a little girl in Midland, Texas. Laura Welch married George W. Bush in 1977. 3 months after she met him. But it's clear in conversation that books have been a lifetime passion. Do you remember the moment at which you learned to read, Mrs. Bush?
I don't remember the exact moment. I was not in the top reading group, and I do remember that, and I always felt slightly embarrassed that I was not in the Bluebird reading group instead of the Redbird reading group, or whatever they called it. But all of a sudden, it was like a light bulb, and it was probably by the third grade that I was a successful, independent reader. And that's what we want children to be, is successful, independent readers.
Are you a rereader?
I laughed at the summit that we just had on last week on early childhood cognitive development. The president of Georgetown University had his new baby, his new six-week-old baby there, And he said his baby was going to wear his T-shirt that said, "So many books, so little time." And that's the way I feel. But I still reread. And some of my favorites that I've just been rereading are Katherine Ann Porter. I reread Ship of Fools and Pale Horse, Pale Rider recently, and they're both fabulous.
But I know you also take on an author and just will read right through. Willa Cather, didn't you
that's
do
right.
that with her?
That's right. Are the Russian writers, and I have these, I think every person who loves to read can think back on points in their life when, with great nostalgia, when you remember the summer, for instance, that you read all the Russian writers or whoever.
Mrs. Bush, I brought along because I know this is a favorite of yours, and you will see that it's a rather...
A
this
worn
is
copy.
A well-loved copy of, look, The Brothers
Karamazov. That's
so could you
great.
Take the rubber band off, please?
And sure.
I put a little post-it on what I read was your favorite section.
Part.
Just, do you mind? Read a little
Just
something.
Start reading?
Sure.
"Even this must have a preface. That is a literary preface," laughed Ivan, "and I'm a poor hand at making one. You see, my action takes place in the 16th century, and at that time, as you probably learnt at school, it was customary in poetry to bring down heavenly powers on earth. I also actually love the part that comes right before this, where Aloysia talks about life. And I see that actually you have this marked in your book.
Did I underline
it? You bracketed this part.
By the way, do you think it's terrible for people to mark up books?
No, I really don't. I think it's great. And it's wonderful later when you reread a book to find those pages that meant so much to you before.
You are an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And I am too. And I know what reading meant for me as the only one in the family.
That's right. Reading was very comforting. Reading was certainly something to do when you were an only child. And my mother loved to read and read to me, and that's why I learned to love to read. And I get letters now from people across the country who say the same thing. My mother loved to read, or my father read to me, or my grandparent loved to read. And it just reinforces what all of us already know, and that is how important it is for us to share our love of reading with children. If we show children we love to read and that we like to have books and we have books around our house, then they'll get that from us just by osmosis.
Your emphasis is slightly different. It's always on reading. That seems to be a Bush
yeah.
tradition. But your mother-in-law, her big issue was literacy. Yours is, what do you call it, alliteracy?
Alliteracy, which means people who can read but don't read and instead only watch television or play computer games. And I hope that we can also combat illiteracy, just like illiteracy. It's so important to read, and at every stage of life, it's important, but especially for young people. We know now, all the new research shows that babies and infants who have young children, preschool children who've been read to, start school with a huge advantage. They have a much bigger vocabulary because, of course, the vocabulary in books is much larger than a spoken vocabulary that parents might speak to their children. So it's very important, as busy as American parents are, to stop and every day and put their arms around their children and read to them.
But even without children, as busy as we get when our children leave home, as busy as you are now, as First Lady, I know this was one of the great passions of your life when your husband was governor of Texas. You had the time even then to sit and read. You don't now, do you?
Well, I do. I read every single night. I think everybody who's a really good reader has some time of the day that they read, and the president and I both read it every night before we go to bed. And then, of course, every morning we get up really early and we read the newspapers in the morning before we go to work.
That's different reading, though.
That's different reading.
That's not enriching.
That's
reading.
Not the same, except you can read those book reviews and then you can make your list of what new books to buy.
Or at least talk authoritatively about the books,
right.
Even if you never get a chance
that's
to read
right.
them. But it really does become increasingly difficult.
It does.
The older
you
get.
When people are driving in carpools or in traffic a lot, it does. I know a lot of friends who now either check out from the library or buy the books on tape.
Do you think that's the same thing, though, as the
process
of reading in silence?
I actually do think it's very nice to hear an author's voice read. And I know certainly for people, elderly people, I know that Barbara Bush, who is a little bit older than I am, listens to books on tape mm-hmm. while she exercises.
Did you have a place as that only child growing up in Texas where you went to read? I mean, a favorite couch, a favorite chair, a favorite tree?
I've always read in bed. I would go stretch out on my bed and read, whatever time of day it was. And that's still where I read now.
And it wouldn't put you to sleep?
Wouldn't, well, eventually.
Or if it was a bad book.
That's right. But I also can remember, not that long ago, the reading in bed at night and glancing at the clock and finding out it's 2 in the morning and you've read too late.
Wow. So where do you make time to watch old movies on TV if you're so busy reading at night?
I don't watch enough old movies on TV.
Thank you, Mrs. Bush.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Susan.
Laura Bush. This week, she and the Librarian of Congress announced plans for the first National Book Festival in September. Invited authors include Scott Turow, Sue Grafton, Walter Mosley, and George Will. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
For more on Laura Bush and the National Book Festival, visit npr.org.